Good morning and welcome to the International Connection. We are in week number 40 of our radio series on mind control, and today we begin an interview with Cisco Wheeler, co-author of The Illuminati Formula Used to Create an Undetectable Total Mind Control Slave, and other books about trauma-based conditioning. Cisco is a mind control victim of one of the Illuminati families. She is a descendant of Ulysses S. Grant and has managed to gain a certain amount of freedom from her family's control. She is currently working with Fritz Springmeier to help other victims of mind control heal. Cisco rarely does interviews, so we are very fortunate to be able to bring you this interview with Cisco Wheeler. I'm speaking to Cisco Wheeler, co-author of The Illuminati Formula Used to Create a Total Undetectable Mind Control Slave and Deeper Insights. Welcome to the show, Cisco.
And thank you for asking. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks for joining us.
Be with you.
And I'd like to start off with just asking you what your background is and how you first became involved in trauma-based conditioning mind control.
Okay. I was first involved in trauma conditioning through my planned birth as an infant. As my father came from a transgenerational satanic family, my life was planned according to a particular structure. My life was structured from the beginning, as my father was a programmer for the Illuminati and for our U.S. government.
So what political or military connections did your family have that you were aware of?
We had a very strong political background. My father had political connections. My great uncle was General Earl Grant Wheeler. He was the direct descendant of Ulysses Grant. And General Earl Wheeler was the head over all the American military in the Vietnam War. He was the chief of Joint Chief of Staff. So we had a very strong political background. My father was also a grandmaster within the Illuminati. He worked on the West Coast during the Vietnam War with his uncle, who headed the military to run drugs into this country to create a drug culture. And the purpose for that was to destroy the structure within the family unit. And that was the real purpose behind the Vietnam War, was the drug culture. My father was also with the USO shows in the military, as he was a musician. He was also involved in the CIA, and he was also a 33rd degree Mason. And because of my father was a grandmaster within the satanic structure of the Illuminati, he was very strongly connected to America's political structure. And because of the generational ties within the Illuminati, from the time of my planned conceivement, I entered into a world that was structured and well-planned. And as a structured slave within the Illuminati, I too became connected to America's political structure. And as a small child, I was groomed to sexually service the so-called elite from within this political structure.
So this would be the elite of the American political system?
Yes.
So were we talking people in the White House?
Yes. President Eisenhower is the first president that I remember. He befriended me as a small child, as I would sit on his lap, and I sang to him, and there were sexual gestures back and forth as I was being trained. And I entertained governors and mayors, ministers. I was trained in sexual activity there. And I was part of the Illuminati function within the British royal family during elite meetings.
So how young do you remember when this when it started, you started being subjected to trauma conditioning? Was it from birth? Or?
I was traumatized in the womb when my mother carried me. I was traumatized that early.
And how did you first realize that your family was connected with the Illuminati?
Well, I didn't know. We have to understand that if you understand multiplicity, there's many layers within the system. Mm-hmm. Because there's many layers, there's parts of ourselves that knew and had very vivid memories of certain things happening within our life, but the front part of our system that faced the outside world, they had no recall or no memory at all that associated them to Illuminati programming or trauma-based mind control.
Mm-hmm.
So if I speak for the front part of our mind, they knew nothing was wrong outside of it, had a very abusive childhood. They didn't really know anything was wrong until my father died. And when my father died, that freed our mind to be able to retrieve memory. And at that point, they understood something was wrong. They started hearing voices and having flashbacks and having information that was retrieved that they knew they didn't have history of. And they couldn't figure out what happened. Where did this come from? This isn't the way I think. Why would I be thinking about sexual issues when I have no recall of ever being sexually abused? Or why do I remember that I was in a certain place, but yet I don't remember? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's all secondhand. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until after my father died that they started breaking down the walls within the mind, the hypnotic walls that protect the mind from knowing what happened to them started breaking down. And over a period of time, because of memory retrieval and flashbacks and the trauma it was causing, they became extremely suicidal. So they didn't believe in suicide, so they sought help. So they went into a hospital for, I think it was for 9 weeks, and started working with a therapist. And after a time period, they realized that it was not a normal, it wasn't normal to want to die when your father died. So during that time period, we found out there was a very deep root of, there was a rooted problem, is what I'm trying to say.
Now, did these initial therapists that
problem.
You...
Pardon me?
Did these initial therapists that you worked with, did they have knowledge of mind control or trauma-based conditioning techniques at the time?
Very vaguely. Very vaguely. We were one of the first multiples diagnosed in this area. And we basically worked with our therapist, and she learned. She was very, she made a commitment to us, and she what she didn't know, she found out.
And so your father was your main handler and programmer?
Yes, our father was our handler and our programmer, yes.
Yeah. And how old were you when he died?
I was 40.
Mm-hmm. And how did you manage to break free of your family's control of your life at that time? Did other people step in into your father's shoes?
And when the master dies, generally the slave also dies. But because of our determination to fight the programming and to get to the bottom of what was happening within our own mind, we were able to fight the suicide programming. And from there, we started a journey into understanding that we were a structured multiple, which we didn't even know what that was, and that we had a long road ahead of us, you know, a hard road to travel. And
did you have to travel that alone, or did you have other people helping?
No, I had a very strong support team. Very strong support team.
And the other people in the support team, were they also victims of mind control? Or?
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm. And several of them were, and several of them weren't.
But the people that weren't, they had an understanding of the mind control techniques? And
No, we really had. We started this journey basically just understanding ourselves, mm-hmm. learning to understand ourselves, listening to ourselves, confronting each other within the system of this is what is happening, what's happening with you, putting our notes together, realizing, hey, we're getting our memories separately, we're feeling the same way, we're reacting the same way, and saying, you know, taking one step at a time, because nobody really knew anything about, 13 years ago, nobody knew about MPD.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your father also victimize other people? With
oh, most definitely. Yes, he was a master programmer. Yes, he was.
Did you have brothers and sisters that were affected as well, or?
Not to the degree in which I was. I was the firstborn.
Mm-hmm. And was it because you were the firstborn that you were chosen for this kind of victimization, or were there other reasons?
In part. In the late 40s, the Illuminati wanted to infiltrate the churches because they understood the power of God within the structure of the church. Mm-hmm. And they had to find a way to infiltrate the churches to break down the spiritual strength within the church, the power of the Holy Spirit that works within the church. And they had to find a way to infiltrate that. And they wanted to bring the world into the churches so that the churches wouldn't be so strong spiritually. And that was part of my father's job. So in order to do that, my father married my mother, which was not Illuminati, nor was she ritual. But she did have a very strong religious background. And she was that perfect example for the world and that perfect wife for the church, you know, to set examples for other young women in the church. And so when my dad married her, that was his way to infiltrate the churches, was through my mother.
So throughout your father's life, go about infiltrating various churches?
By becoming part of the church, by being a minister, by being ordained, by getting into the youth groups, becoming very friendly with the elders and the board of directors, and being a leader within the congregation itself.
Mm-hmm. And which church was your father affiliated with?
The Pentecostal churches.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your father's role in the drug trafficking within the Vietnam War. Could you expand on that? Was he involved with in the military operations in Vietnam?
Yes, when the drugs were brought in, when the Vietnam soldier was killed and they brought their bodies over, the drugs were hidden in the cavities of the soldier. And my father's responsibility was to get that from the mortician, and it would be a controlled substance at that point, and he was the handler of that controlled substance.
So this would be on the United States side?
Yes.
He was, like, active in Vietnam as well, or?
No. He was just the extended hand that was used within our government to make sure the drugs were met their destination.
And once the drugs came over into North America, what were your father's connections in terms of the distribution at that point?
I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
I was not allowed to know that.
Right.
I didn't see it. I was too young at that time. Well, I wasn't that young, but I was too young to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself completely free now of the influence from the Illuminati and your former perpetrators?
No, I do not consider myself completely free from the cult influence. We are continually harassed by external threats. And
what kind of harassment is taking place?
Well, we get a lot of phone calls, we get bullets in our windows, we get ran off the road, we get letters, we get people that walk up to us in the grocery store and they threaten us. They let us know in their little way that they know where I am, what I'm doing, and what I'm up to, and that it's not over until they say it's over.
Hmm.
You know? So, they're calling the shots, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Have they been able to access parts of you that you have not dealt with in terms of healing?
In the past, they have. At this present time, no, because I am very careful on where I am and what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not careless with my time or my energy, and I don't set myself up so that they can't access me.
Mm-hmm.
I have other people answer my phone. I have other people that read my letters. I have other people that walk before me and make sure everything is okay before I walk into anything that I can't handle.
What effects of the trauma conditioning that you've undergone throughout your life that you continue to suffer and have to deal with currently?
continue to suffer with the trauma-based mind control in every aspect of my life. I have to deal with the facts that my father was had a beautiful little girl and he didn't want her, that he didn't want her love as that beautiful little innocent girl that was born to him. But I have to deal with the fact that he wanted a little girl, but he wanted her to be shattered into a million pieces so that he could structure every aspect of my life. And then I have to ask myself, what did it take to splinter this 18-month-old child into a million pieces? When you deal with questions like that, it's hard for the mind to comprehend what has been done to you, to what extent. Because the mind always wants to protect itself to some degree, so you just take little bites of it. But the mind is always processing material. And then I have to deal with the fact that they planned this. And that's what structured is. Structured MPD or DID is that they planned this whole ordeal from the time of my conceivement. And I'm afraid that kind of hurts my feelings when I think about it.
So they had a definite structure in terms of they knew what they were doing when they were traumatizing you, and they knew what the effects that would bring about.
Definitely. They knew exactly from A to Z what they wanted to do with my life and how they wanted to structure it and what they wanted me to be and what they wanted me to become. And that is slavery. I have to deal with the body, soul, and spirit because all parts of myself feel like it's been raped, it's been traumatized. I continually have to deal with memories. I continually have to deal with spirit issues, which I mean in my programming, how they dehumanized me, how they shamed me, how they traumatized me to such a point that I didn't even know who I was, what I was, where I was going. I didn't even know I was a little girl at some points in my traumatization. They made sure they dehumanized me to such a point that I became a kitten, a kitten within myself. To be a little girl was to be punished, to be tortured, unacceptable. I have to deal with the spiritual issues that I was told the lie that God didn't love me, that he raped me, that he didn't love me. I could no longer have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that my name was taken out of the Book of Life. And then they continued the programming with stealing, hypnotically taking my heart from my body, hypnotically, and through drugs, so that I didn't even know I had a heart, to dehumanize me to the point that there was no place to go except the family. There was no place to go.
Now, were there other perpetrators involved in your family other than your father?
Oh, definitely. I'm trying to think of where I want to start. My primary programmer was Dr. Green, who was Dr. Joseph Mengele. My other primary programmer was Dr. Black, which was my father.
And how did you know, or when did you realize that Dr. Green was in fact Joseph Mengele?
I always knew from my internal parts, because my deeper parts were programmers. And see, my father was trained by Mengele. So, because my father was his number two man, we followed in my father's footsteps. We were also trained and to be a programmer. That was our specialized field.
And were you able to identify, like, did he say that he used his own name at some point?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. As well as he went by Dr. Fairchild, he went by Dr. Green.
And what's your understanding of Mengele's involvement in mind control across the continent?
I'm sure that he has infiltrated every state, and I know that he's worked within Canada.
And what state were you located when he was performing the mind control on you?
Okay, most of my programming occurred in California and Oregon. In California, I was programmed at Inukern China Lake Naval Base in California, the Presidio near San Francisco, and the Letterman Hospital next to the Presidio.
This is the Presidio military base or the...
The military base, And Alcatraz Island, there was programming that went on in the prisons there. And in Scotty's Castle in Death Valley in California, also in Torrance, California. And also there was programming done at the State Mental Hospital in Salem, Oregon. And also in the big Masonic hospital called Dornbecker here in Portland.
And about what time frame would that have been around?
48, 49, clear up until the 60s, middle 60s.
Okay. And how did you begin the process of healing yourself and to, as much as possible, disabling the programming that was done to you?
By stabilizing myself, by making sure that I was in a safe place where I could do my work without being infiltrated, by sincerely making that effort to go towards health above all else, to work diligently on my memories and my programming, and to be a truth seeker, to find out, no matter what had been done to me, I wanted to know what had been done to me, because I wanted, if you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. And it was very important to me to go towards health, because once I realized what they had done to me and what the depths of the programming, and I wasn't going to stand by and not say anything. I was going to stand by and just let it not be spoken or be silenced. I was going to beat the programming where it says, see no evil, hear no evil, and do no evil. I was going to beat that, and I was going to tell. And that was my determination that helped me fight the trauma of knowing what I had to learn about myself.
And the work that you had to go through to accomplish that level of healing, what did that involve in terms of dealing with your memories? And how did you go about that?
I had to face the pain. I had to face the torture. I had to face my own fears of the unknown. I had to face the fact that my father didn't love me. I had to face the fact that trauma bonding is not love. And no matter what they say, as far as it's in the name of love, there was no love involved in this. I had to look deep inside myself and find that spark of life that was left, because they so dehumanize you as they're programming you to be their slave, that for some the light goes out and there is no hope. But for myself, I was one of the fortunate. There was some hope, and there was a light, and that light enabled me to have the courage and the strength I needed to go towards health.
Now, how did the people around you that were helping you through this, how were they helping?
How were they helping me?
Mm-hmm.
My support team was very helpful to me, because my support team consisted of three women plus myself, that we were all programmed around the same time, programmed by the same programmers. And my father was a very strong influence in their life, as he was their programmer. So that tied us together emotionally. And all four of us had made the determination that we were going to walk out of this and that we were going to go towards the health. And so we became very bonded, not only from what we knew ritually had happened to us and through the trauma that had been done to us, the trauma base bonding, we stepped out of that and started building a new type of friendship, a friendship of trust, of lifting each other up, building each other up, being there for each other, having a listening ear, learning how to document our memories, to be there no matter what time of the day it was. For the first 5 years, we all needed each other at any given point. And so I just wanted to say, these other three ladies, two of them have medical degrees, the other is a teacher, and then there is myself. And I can say that all four of us are free today because we stood together. I think in our healing process, the first thing that we had to acknowledge within ourselves, and we each have to do this separately, is that we have to acknowledge that we are MPD, that we are DID, and that we were a generational family of Satanism, and that, yes, we did practice Satanism, and, yes, we were of the Illuminati bloodlines, and, yes, there's a lot of dirt in our life, and, yes, we don't want to look at it, and it was too painful to look at, but there came a time when we wanted to step out of our denial, and I think that's the most important thing in our healing process when I look back, is that we had the courage to look at our life in the reality in which it stood. Because we were programmed to be a programmer, that gave us the ability to understand others as well as ourselves, and we could work together within a group, and we gained a lot of strength from one another. But we also had to we had to call a spade. We couldn't run away from what had happened to us. And that was our strength, and it gave us the courage we needed to keep fighting. Once we realized that, yes, we were under mind control, and yes, we were a slave for the Illuminati, we didn't like the slavery in which we had been born into. We also didn't like the idea that we ever were given a choice as to what happened to us. We wanted to be free agents. We just didn't know how to become a free agent. So we had to fight for it. It didn't come easy. The nights are filled with trauma. The days are filled with pain. The body, soul, and spirit is continually in a warfare as it goes towards health. It does not like to release the hidden knowledge or what was done to us, because everything was done to us in secret. And because of the programs, it didn't want to unravel itself, and to do so was very, very painful.
And was the ability for you and survivors being able to find a safe place to be able to undergo this work, was that a significant factor in being able to break that control?
Oh, definitely. Even to the point when we go see our therapist, our handlers would be on the stairs to the building in which we would enter to see our therapist to let us know that if we said anything that would bring down the family or to expose the family, that we would pay for it later. They'd be waiting for us. In other words, have a good time, enjoy your therapist, but we'll be here when you get out. I mean, the torture that came with even, you had to face them every single time when you went to see a therapist. You had to face them knowing that they could be around the corner. They may run you off the road on the way to the therapist, too. They may burn your house down, and they may put a bullet through one of your children's heads or through your bedroom window, or they just, you know, they're going to get to you one way or the other. You have to work with the threat, the lie. That was at the beginning of our therapy work, just to get through the trauma of the threat. I would keep most people at home. But what it did for us and the other survivors is that we became so angry that we decided we're going to fight them even unto death, because it's not over till God says it's over. And when he says it's over, that's fine. We're ready to go home. That we're going to fight this. We are going to win. Because before, when we were under mind control and the memories were taken from us, we didn't have a choice. We didn't have a say in what they did to us. But this time, it was different. We still had a say. We could walk into the therapist's office, or we could choose not to. But to have the ability to say, even unto death, I am going to go to therapy, I am going to continue this journey, there was a lot of strength that came with that, because every time we took a step in the right direction, it gave us the power that we needed.
So you found a lot of strength.
Lots of strength.
In the anger.
Even when they got a hold of us at the first 5 years of our therapy, and they did get a hold of us, and they did torture us, and they did apply electrical shock, and they did drug us, and they did rape us over and over and over. They continued these things the first 5 years. But even after the trauma, it was still worth it. Because it was the first time we could breathe on our own. It was the first time we knew we were human. We had been so dehumanized from the trauma of the mind control that just to have a spark of humanism, to really have the reality, I am not a kitten. I am a child. I am a woman. I was once a little girl. It was all lies. You're willing to die for the truth.